Welcome back to Thick and Thin with me, Katie Bilotti, and I hope you are comfortable and cozy wherever you are, hopefully with a cup of coffee or tea, just chilling, because we're about to have quite the episode. I'm going to talk about the new year, all the changes I want to make this year, and just lifestyle changes overall, mentality changes, little things that I want to do this year that I didn't get to do in previous years. And, you know, I know that I've said in the past, and I think other people have just said it very frequently recently, that it's kind of like ridiculous to just make New Year's resolutions and like wait till the new year to have change happen. And while I kind of agree with that, I think that, you know, you can make change whenever you want to, and you can sit back and, you know, write a list and be like, this is what I want to do tomorrow, and just make change whenever you want. But I also think that there's something special about a new year and just a fresh new chapter. It's like when you're reading a book and you flip the page and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm already on chapter 20. Like, I also feel like I need to mention that I'm drinking B12 right now. B12 is like the newest thing that my friends and I have discovered. It just like is a miracle worker vitamin situation. And I recently discovered via my mom, who just knows all sorts of things like this, that there's these fizzy things you can put into water that has like your daily dose of B12, and it tastes like an orange Starburst, which I wouldn't say is like my favorite Starburst, but it tastes really good nonetheless. And I always forget to take my vitamins. This is not sponsored by this fizzy thing. I don't even know what the brand is. I'll look it up later and share on my Instagram or something, but it's just a miracle worker, and I'm drinking it right now. I usually feel like I'm drinking like wine while I podcast, and I hope you guys always imagine me drinking wine, because that's the kind of aesthetic that I want to instill on here. But right now I'm drinking an electric yellow energy fizzy drink thing. So anyway, just want to put that picture in your minds. But yes, anyway, we are podcasting. We're doing this. I keep getting sidetracked. So as I said, today's video, what did I just say? Today's podcast, I'm going to be talking about just some little things I want to change about myself this year. And not change about myself, that sounds kind of, I don't know, aggressive. Kind of just want to make some alterations in the way that I see things and the way that I approach things, if that makes sense. There's a few ways I've noticed this year that this past year and previous years before that, I've been revisiting a lot of my old videos, a lot of my old content, my blog entries, things like that, and just figuring out the ways that I need to kind of make some little shifts in the next year and in years to come. So don't think it's just for 2020 I'm going to be like this. Hopefully there'll be one of those things where it's like I do these things enough that it'll become a habit, because what is it? You have to do things something like 12 times for it to become a habit or something like that. So yeah, I entitled this podcast in my notes, like in my journal, Decade in Review, but truly it's just going to be kind of just Katie in review and kind of reviewing myself as a person and talking about what I see as being kind of my pitfalls. And I don't want to say that there's ever a chance that I'll be a perfect person in any way, shape, or form, but there's certain ways that I just keep revisiting the same things over and over. Does that make sense? So my friend Amy, she actually said this quote in her YouTube video recently. Amy Lee, she's amazing. The lesson keeps presenting itself until the lesson is learned. And that really hit me hard, because I feel like there's all these things that we encounter in our day-to-day and ways where we're like, oh, you know, I didn't handle that so great, or oh, I really didn't prepare myself for this in the right way. And we keep saying, oh, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to do this differently. I'm going to stop doing this in my friendships, my relationships, whatever. And we keep saying that, but, you know, it doesn't really hold any weight until we actually put it into doing. And believe me, I'm sure that we all have these things. It's not just me. The lesson keeps presenting itself to us, and we keep approaching it in the same way. And so then the lesson just keeps presenting itself. Does that make sense? It's like it just keeps kind of nagging you, and you're either going to make a change about it and kind of confront it head on, or you're just going to let it continue to nag until it's like 2030. Okay, so where do we begin? I found this one thread on Instagram, or it's kind of one of those, it's kind of a thread, I think you can call it a thread, where it's like multiple photos, like a photo set, I guess, but it's like a photo set of tweets that kind of make a story, if that makes sense. I don't know what to call these. It's like a new genre of things on Instagram, but I follow this one account, and it's called Writing. It's W.R.I.T.I.N.G. on Instagram. Great account. They post great quotes, great little nuggets of things that make me think about certain things I don't think about. So love accounts like this. If you guys ever have ones that you found that you love, please send them to me via DM. I love this stuff. I follow like 2,500 people on Instagram solely because probably 400 of those people aren't even well, they're people, but they're like accounts like this where it's just like little nuggets of quotes and things that, you know. So that's why I follow so many people on Instagram. Thank God. Honestly, thank God for the algorithm in that sense, because otherwise I don't know what I would be sitting through every day of scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. So I digress. So it's questions to ask yourself before the new year. That's what it's called. And obviously now that it is the new year, I'm asking myself these questions now, but you know, better late than never, I guess. And to be fair, I did ask myself these questions like last week, but I didn't record last week because I was busy, honestly, eating last week. So here we are. So I'm just going to talk about a few of them because there's like 9 of them in this photo set. And some of them I was like, okay, that's not as relevant to me. So the first one that I actually thought was pretty relevant is, what's one small way you can become a better person in 2020 for others and for yourself? And when I was thinking about this, you know, I think that I'm constantly trying to be a better person. And I mean, at some point you do have to sit back and be like, I'm doing the best I can. You can't be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. But I think that one way and one area that I want to improve in 2020 and just in years to come is delivering tough love. I'm really bad at this. I'm really bad at being critical. I'm bad at handling criticism, like, you know, being dealt criticism. I'm bad at that, but I'm also bad at dealing it myself and being critical of other people when it's necessary. And let me kind of explain this. So when a friend comes to me and they're like, you know, I'm dealing with this situation with this person, usually a relationship or at work, or I just can't seem to find a job that I like, or a number of things, I think that, I mean, usually I'm very comforting, which I think is important, but there's some times where you're sitting there and they're telling you these things and you have this little nagging feeling where you're like, I need to say something they don't want to hear. And I've gotten kind of flustered when I feel these things and I'm like, I just kind of change the subject or whatever, or just try to like say something really, easy to digest, in contrast to what I'm actually feeling. Like, I feel like I need to say this one thing that just keeps kind of, it's on the tip of my tongue and I want to say it, but I don't want to hurt their feelings. And that's such a tough position to be in, believe me, but it's something that I want to confront this year and just get. Not, I feel like honesty maybe isn't, maybe it is honesty, but mostly it's just being a bit more bold in my friendships, because truly a lot of time would be saved on my part, on their part, if they heard the truth. And this can be kind of presented a number of ways. It's like, for example, someone will show me something design-wise. A lot of people ask for my opinions on things, you know, graphic design-wise, and if they're designing their resume or a number of things, because that is obviously kind of in my wheelhouse. I love stuff like that. So sometimes people show me a design for something and I'm like, oh my gosh, this needs a lot of help. It needs a lot of stuff. And, you know, I don't say like, oh, it's perfect per se, but I'll just kind of, you know, give one small little tweak here and there and not tell them like, oh, you kind of need to, you know, rework this. Because truly, I mean, that's kind of a matter of opinion, and that's where it kind of gets tricky for me, because some people have different opinions on what looks good, obviously, but you know, I'm bad at that, honestly, like being critical that way. But also people will come to me and be like, oh, so I have this relationship problem, or I feel this one way towards, or something like that. And I usually am just like, oh, like, you know, maybe he'll call, maybe blah, blah. Or I'll maybe be like, oh, like, you don't deserve him if it's like a relationship thing, when truly it's staring me right in the face that this guy is not interested in her. I need to just tell her that. But like, again, it's like a matter of opinion. So I think it's just tough, and it's something I'm dealing with every day, just being able to deliver tough love and knowing that it might not be received well, but at least I'm maybe pushing someone in the right direction of improving themselves in some way. And I hope the same thing goes for me. I hope that I can deliver tough love to myself, you know, in 2020, that just sometimes I'm not right. You're not going to always be right. Sometimes you're going to create really shitty stuff. You're going to make really ugly things. And you got to be honest with yourself, kind of take some time away and look back at things and be like, wow, that was a really bad, you know, because that's the only way that you grow. And I don't mean to be overly critical of myself, because that is something that I do deal with. But I think that there's certain moments where maybe a client or someone tells me like, oh, you kind of fucked up here. You know, they're delivering tough love to me and I can't take it. And I think the reason is because I don't really give tough love to myself. Because that's the only way you grow. So that's the number one answer that I had to that question, was definitely tough love. But also just another thing that I want to do to make myself a better person this year is use my phone a lot less. I'm in my freelancing zone, obviously. I am easily distracted by my phone just because my phone is a big part of what I do, about how, you know, I interact with clients and how I'm getting inspiration for what I'm creating. So it is important to have my phone a lot of the times, but there's certain projects where I've, even in the first, you know, few days of this month and this year, I've started to do this. Today I did it. I was at a coffee shop doing work for 3 hours earlier today, and I just tucked my phone away, put it in my bag, did not touch it. I think that we all have a tendency of having our phone right next to us when we're eating, when we're doing anything, just having it right there. Like right now it's right here because I'm obviously using it to podcast. But yeah, that's something I want to practice. Less phone, more writing, more journaling, more creating things, obviously. And I also, there's another thing I want to do. I want to focus on the little nuggets of dreams that I have. There's like a few little things that I've wanted to do so badly, and I just can't justify it because, of course, being a freelancer, it's important that I'm doing jobs that make me money because, you know, money is how I stay afloat here in the city, and it's important, but I do need to do some things here and there that don't have a monetary gain for me, but just gain me something else, like, you know, a creative spin on something, creating content for you guys that's free, because there is some stuff that I want to create for you guys that's free. I want to make some wallpapers for Instagram, or not, well, that's does not make sense. Wallpapers for your phone, Instagram story stuff for Instagram. Like, I want to make some things like that, and just obviously maybe someday I'll get monetary gain from that. But for starters, I just want to kind of just create stuff, you know, and whatever. I want to make like little things that I've been, you know, having in my little dream collection realm in my brain that I just haven't done because I'm afraid that they're not good uses of time. I think that when you're creating anything, it's a good use of time because you're trying something new. I just learned a bunch of new little things, like how to make better GIFs, how to make better videos for Instagram, stuff like that, like taking time to learn things that, like, of course takes up time, but overall to make my content better, and that's important. So yeah, that's another thing I want to do. And so, okay, let's scroll and see the next thing. Okay, number four of this little photo set. What do you want to be a student of in 2020? So a student of means like obviously learning, being taught by someone, something else. And I wrote down that I want to teach myself, like I just said, to worship my phone less and find other dopamine mechanisms, because I did a whole podcast episode on this, I think, about how when we get likes, when we get texts from people we care about, we get like a little dopamine rush. And so when we don't get that text from the guy that we like, we like our, you know, our body, our self is searching for that dopamine hit and we don't get it. So we're depressed about it because whatever. I want to worship my phone less. I found last year especially, I think, was like obviously every year my phone usage goes up and up with all the new social media mechanisms and things that the other ways you can do things on your phone. Like, it's just insane. Every year I'm getting more apps, more things become a thing, like TikTok and like whatever. I don't even want to tell you how much time I like spent on TikTok the other night just like scrolling. Like, why? Anyway, also I do want to note really quickly, if you hear like a click in the background, it's my heat going on and off. It's freezing. Please let me have my heat on. I need to have it on. Okay, I just noticed it, so I just had to address that. But yeah, I want to worship my phone a little bit less and worship just information a little bit less. I think that, I mean, information is such a broad term, but I think, I mean, I'm constantly just scrolling, searching, Googling, of course, making myself smarter and making myself more, having a broader just scope of things is important. But I think that a lot of my creativity is a little bit lost when I'm scrolling and comparing myself and just finding all these new ways I need to improve myself. There's been a lot of self-improvement that I've been focusing on, but kind of in the wrong ways. I think that the true self-improvement that we're all searching for, the true happiness that we're all searching for, truly lies within us. We already have everything that we need inside of us to be a better person, and we're just kind of procrastinating that, you know, all of that, that bank of awesomeness that we have inside of us. We're procrastinating on dealing with that because we're just trying to find other ways to help ourselves online and on our phones. And some people might disagree with that, but that's just how I see it. And I think that there's a huge bank of things in me that I just have not explored yet, and I need to. And a lot of that can be done if I'm not just constantly on my phone consuming information, just consuming. And I read this book recently that really confirmed this for me and kind of really highlighted this in my mind. The book's called To Hell with the Hustle by Jefferson Bethke, I think. I'm pretty sure, I don't know who I saw reading this, but I bought it, obviously, because I was super influenced. I'm very easily influenced by other people on Instagram, let me tell you. And on page six, this is like way back in the beginning of the book, it says this really awesome little thing that I want to read to you guys. It says, while we're busy trying out the latest productivity system, at the end of the day, we still need to sleep 8 hours. Imagine if Apple tried to sell you a computer and they advertised it by saying, this computer is inoperable for 8 hours a day. And that line really got me because I remember so many times in college where I procrastinated on projects, procrastinated on so many things, and had to pull all-nighters to finish everything because I was obviously running a business. I was doing full-time school at the same time, and even my friends that didn't have businesses, it's just like we got consumed in our social lives. We just like didn't make time for things, and just like, you know, again, informational just overload, doing too many things. And I could not imagine if my computer just didn't work for 8 hours a day. But like, how great would that be though? Because then we'd have to sleep 8 hours. I feel like 8 hours of sleep is very much a luxury for a lot of people. So that really got me, that line. I was like, I never thought about it like that. Like, you know, can you imagine if a computer like didn't work for 8 hours a day? Anyway, okay, let's continue. So how many bulletproof coffees do we need to drink before we actually start becoming the person we want to become? How many bullet journals do we have to crack open, podcasts do we have to listen to, whole 30 initiatives do we have to start before we can be finished? The truth is we are informationally obese, gorging ourselves on information until we're sick and unhealthy. Just one more podcast, one more YouTube video, one more hack to achieve a more optimized life. But we keep wondering, why isn't anything changing? Why do we achieve a goal or a dream yet still feel as unfulfilled and anxious as ever? And he goes on to say, you know, were people in the 17th century so much worse off because they didn't have all of these mechanisms for improving themselves, and like they didn't have podcasts to listen to, they didn't have bullet journals, they didn't have a lot of the things that we have now. And, you know, were they worse off because of it? Sorry, I just hit my book on the table. Were they worse off? And he says, or maybe they knew something we didn't. Maybe they didn't know everything we know. And that was actually the blessing. On average, people 200 years ago were lucky to read 50 books in their entire lifetime. Today, people spend more time watching episodes or movies, and they watch more than 50 sometimes in a week or two. The information onslaught is an intense issue that we have not dealt with before. And it's so true. I was actually talking to a friend of mine about this recently. We were dealing with the classic, you know, ever so classic, you know, when's he gonna text me back? It's been 4 days. Like, why isn't he texting me after this date we went on, whatever. And having to remind myself that in different eras of time, like for example, I was watching It's a Wonderful Life the other day, and you know, Mary's like waiting around for a call from George and like whatever, waiting for him to come to her door because they didn't have texting and like whatever. And there was a lot less pressure on constant communication back then. It was like, okay, when are we going on another date? It wasn't like, how's your day going? Like text every day, things like that. And you weren't constantly waiting around. Like there's just so much of a different mindset now in terms of just, you know, you're expecting information, you're expecting people to ask you things, and like texting and comparing yourself to people on the internet. And I feel like comparison wasn't as big of a thing. Actually, no, comparison definitely existed in like the 1700s and such, but it wasn't so much in your face every second of the day as you scroll as it is now. In just 48 hours, the amount of information and data produced in the world will have been equal to all the information from the beginning of time until the turn of the century. That means the actual amount of data we consume in a day would have been one person's entire lifetime's worth in 1574. So yeah, big resolution for me this year is to be more conscious of the information that I consume. Of course, it's kind of inevitable that I'm going to be confronted with a lot of information every day, but I think just being selective about, first of all, the times of day that I'm consuming this, and second of all, just the amount that I'm consuming, and just taking a conscious step back and thinking like, you know, when I start to get a little bit anxious and really critical of myself and comparing myself and whatever, like, I just need to take a step back, kind of throw my phone in the corner, not look at it for a little bit, and dig a little bit deeper inside of myself before I continue consuming. So, yeah, that's important. So taking a quick little break to introduce today's sponsor. Today's episode of Thick and Thin is sponsored by my friends at Care Of. As you guys know, I've talked about them before. Care Of is a subscription service that delivers vitamins and supplements customized to your specific health needs. Basically, you just take a quick little short quiz and answer questions about your diet, your lifestyle, fitness, and health goals, and Care Of puts together a personalized plan just for you. I've seen so many other people talking about Care Of. I absolutely love them. I use them personally. They just make taking vitamins so much easier. So if taking vitamins is a new New Year's resolution for you, definitely try Care Of. They make it easy and it's great to just get back into a good little health and wellness routine. So Care Of makes it easy to upgrade your health routine in that way. Basically, it's a super quick quiz, as I said, and they tell you exactly which vitamins you should be taking. You just answer easy questions like how much sleep you're getting, are you looking for more energy, things like that. And it gets super personalized from there, and it can just be really hard to know what vitamins and supplements you should be taking, and Care Of makes it super easy to figure out what you specifically need to be your healthiest. I just love how personalized it feels. Every plan is personalized to you, and they come in these little packets that have your name on them, and they're actually compostable packets. They're made of plant-based film, and there's information on their site on how to compost them, which is really, really great. And if you're not really sure and you just want a little push to get started, I have one for you. I have a little code you guys can use to get 50% off of your first order of Care Of. Basically, for 50% off of your first Care Of order, go to takecareof, that's takecareof.com, and enter my code HELLOKATY50, that's HELLO KATY 50, and you can get 50% off of your first Care Of order, which is great. So if you need a little push, try out that code and get started with Care Of and make a nice little change in your health routine. So thank you to Care Of for sponsoring this episode, and let's get back into things. So going back to that question again of just what I want to be a student of in 2020, I really want to be more intentional with my life. And that word just keeps resurfacing for me. I'm just constantly thinking about that word. I don't know why. I actually had to Google it the other day to make sure that I'm thinking of it correctly, because you know those words you've just been using forever and you're like, I don't know if I'm using this right, or I don't even know if this, like, I even know the meaning of this word. I'm constantly Googling words, and if you saw my Google search feed, you'd be like, why are you even looking up that word, Katie? Like, that's very elementary, but whatever. I digress. Intentionality, I think that's the way you say it, plurally, or just kind of as a concept. I want to be more intentional, because I think that being intentional means that you're super obviously self-aware, but you also know, just, you know, you're more purposeful. You know what you need to do and how to do it. And a lot of times I think I know things that I want to do and things I want to accomplish and just the way that I want to be, but I just kind of run in the opposite direction because I am afraid of structure. I'm really bad at structure. And because I'm my own boss now and I'm delegating tasks to myself, it's really important that I'm intentional and that, you know, I think I need to declutter my life a lot. I need to just, there's a lot of just ways I need to be more intentional in 2020 and truly make decisions based on things that I want to accomplish and not always. I mean, there's obviously room for just being creative and not always having a certain purpose to what I'm doing and just kind of letting my mind wander and daydream. But I need to have most of my moments be intentional moments, I think, in order for me to accomplish all the things that I want to dive into this year. So yeah, that's important. There's all these people I see on Instagram and I'm like, wow, that person is so intentional. And of course, I'm obviously seeing a version of themselves that they want me to see. But I also think that it is kind of inspirational to look at people that accomplish a lot, or not even a lot, but just really know themselves, really are self-aware and do things out of knowing themselves. That is super inspiring to me. So being intentional is another thing. Okay. All right. So next little thing I wanted to talk about, another thing in that photo set. I'm flipping the page in my journal. Number 6 is, what can I thank myself for? I think that's kind of verbatim what it said. It was like, what can you thank yourself for this year, or something flowery, whatever. Similar to that. What can I thank myself for in 2020, or 2019 rather? So looking back, what can I thank myself for last year? And I think what I can thank myself for, number 1, is being a quitter. And it takes a lot. as a truck goes by, for me to admit that being a quitter was something that I'm thankful for, because I think a lot of people hear the word quitter and they get really stressed. What it makes me think of, honestly, is back when I was playing soccer, and I really hated playing soccer because my dad was my coach. It was a lot of pressure, you know, and I was just really bad at sports in general. That was just not my thing, of course, as we know now. And I just remember my dad being like, don't be a quitter, whatever, because like that's what you're supposed to do as a parent. When your kid wants to, you know, do things, they can't just constantly try things and quit. They have to persevere, whatever. It's a good thing to instill. So I'm not mad at my dad for saying that. But of course, now when things are up to me and the choices I make are up to me fully, it's kind of noble. Is that the right word? Kind of just, it's a good thing to be a quitter sometimes. And I think that we have to stop being so afraid of that word. Like, of course, we shouldn't make it our daily habit of just quitting things, but I think that you have to know when the chapter is finished. And for me, quitting my day job, my 9-to-5, I've done many a times podcasts on this, but of course, it was something that was huge this past year and something that I did quit. And I'm really thankful that I have become a little bit less afraid of letting people down, because you're going to let people down. That's just something that's going to happen. You're going to, you know, in many ways, you're going to let people down if you quit your job. You're going to let people down if you break up with someone in a relationship. You're going to let someone down. I mean, if you decide, I don't know, today I went to a different laundromat than the one I usually go to because I just tried a new one today because I liked the way, you know, I've just been noticing things with my other one. I was like, I want to try a new laundromat. I let down my previous laundromat, and it's just, that's life. You have to be critical about the ways that you spend your time and you spend your days, because you only get so many of them. And so being a quitter is not so much a bad thing that we have thought it was since youth. And I read this thing on Instagram, actually, this caption of this girl I just discovered. A lot of you guys DM me people that you think I should follow, and it's so helpful to me because, of course, I'm so siloed in the people that I already follow, and I never branch out really unless someone tells me, hey, you should follow this person. So a follower DM me saying I should follow this girl because she makes really cool collage-y journaling art stuff, and that's something that I love. So this is from Catherine Misook, CatharineMisook. I love her account. And in one of her recent captions, she has these beautiful captions, beautifully written captions. The last point in the caption was, landmarks like a new year or decade can feel weighty in a season of retreat. So she talks about a season of retreat in this caption. And I've never kind of imagined quitting would be called retreating, but it's kind of true. I mean, when, you know, one of the sides in a war was losing and they were losing, you know, the casualties were too high, they would retreat. And I think a lot of us don't really think about ourselves as someone that can retreat from things that are no longer suiting them or that are hurting them, you know. So retreating, I've never really thought of that word in like a personal sense, but it's so important. So she talks about the season of retreat. So she says, for anywhere that it feels like opportunities didn't happen, careers took a step back, social circles shifted, gossip and all that nonsense or whatever it is, maybe you're just in a season of retreat, and not by accident, but where big dreams are germinating and you are being prepared for something far better beyond your hopes. So to that, happy retreat year. May the best dreams, the ones that nourish you, flourish from your quiet spaces. So just the concept of season of retreat was really huge for me in that little narrative that she spun. It was so great. I love that caption. Because I think this past year, 2019, was kind of a season of retreat for me. I retreated from my job. I retreated from some really destructive habits that I had formed, you know, in my personal life, just habits in general. And I kind of, yeah, I felt like a lot of last year was kind of certain elements of my life were falling off in a sense. And I didn't feel like I was really moving forward. I mean, at some points I did, but some points majorly, I thought that I was moving fully backwards. And sometimes that's not a bad thing. I think that we need to revisit the idea of quitting and of retreating and see it more as opportunity for growth. Like, I think that, you know, losing things shouldn't be so much of a bad thing. I think that when you lose things, you kind of are making space for new things, of course. And so me kind of retreating back and, you know, losing things, stopping certain things that people really admired about me, and just kind of, getting back to what I was before I had all that embellishment, before I was wearing all of those layers of things that just were getting too heavy. I think that I need to see that, like she said in her caption, as like a germinating moment. Like, I am getting ready to bloom. Like, yes, I kind of, you know, when there's certain flowers or trees, I think it's trees, you have to cut off the branches when they die because otherwise it won't grow. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's something that happens in gardening, the gardening world. And I think that that's so important. Like, yes, when there's dead leaves, you cut them off because it makes way for the new leaves to sprout. And so that's kind of how I see a lot of 2019, was me cutting off my dead leaves and dead branches, and I'm making way for new ones to grow in the coming years. And I'm just going to get better and get smarter. And it's okay that I felt like I was walking or moving backwards. Okay, so the last part of the podcast, I want to just kind of talk through a few major moments for me in 2019 that I really learned through, and kind of what I learned or how I got through them, and kind of things related to that. So I made a little list, like a bulleted list of just some major things. Of course, the first one, in all caps, I wrote Lyme, because as you guys know, I was diagnosed with Lyme disease this year, and I made a whole podcast after that happened, a whole video after that happened. So I really kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head, beat it to death almost, with talking about it and just kind of telling you guys what happened. But I want to talk about kind of how I've been getting through it after the fact, because I feel people always think like, oh, you healed from the sickness, you're good now. But of course, Lyme disease is something that is with you forever. And so it's something where I've been having some reoccurring little things that have happened because of it. And I just haven't felt like it was like big enough for me to share it, because, you know, everyone goes through chronic things, or just everyone goes through things. A lot of people have extreme chronic pain, and it hasn't been really chronic, or I mean, maybe chronic's the wrong word to be using for this, but I don't know. I'm really bad at talking about medical things. I'm going to try my best here. You guys are probably cringing having me talk about this. But, you know, of course, there's been little things that have happened because of Lyme, especially now that it's winter time. I've been told by my primary care doctor that having, you know, Lyme in the winter is the worst, apparently. I haven't obviously experienced it in like the spring, and it was mostly during the summer for me, but I've been feeling weird, kind of just certain things in my spine, in my joints, kind of just really sluggish, exhaustion sometimes that just hits me like a truck. And of course, people feel back pain, people feel exhaustion just in general when they don't have Lyme disease, but because I have Lyme, it makes it a little bit worse. And a lot of times I feel certain things and I don't brush them off as just being, oh, I'm, you know, it's because of Lyme most of the time. And I feel certain pain in certain parts of my back that I didn't ever experience before because of just the trauma that my body went through when I dealt with Lyme and when I dealt with my surgeries and stuff, or not the surgery. I keep calling it a surgery. It was like an injection or something, but whatever. So Lyme disease was something I really had to get through this year, and I still am dealing with just the, you know, after effects of Lyme. I was at the gyno a couple of days ago, and I had to explain the whole thing to my gyno, so I felt like I relived the whole thing. Just, you know, Lyme is something that's going to affect me for a really long time. I'm bad at talking about it, but it's something that is going to affect me forever, and I just got to get over it. You know, going through that and having to deal with being in the hospital for 10 days and having to deal with my family and my friends being so worried about me, it really made me rethink how I look at taking care of myself and how I've really done a very bad job of taking care of myself in past years, especially in college. I reflect on how just horribly I treated my body, how I would just drink and eat such bad things and really have no regard for the harm I put myself in, like just simple things like just not wearing a seatbelt and just, you know, being sick and on pain meds for certain things, like being on steroids / just like antibiotics and drinking heavily, just like doing so many stupid things. And of course, when you're in college, like you do stupid things all the time, like you're still learning as you grow. But having Lyme disease really made me stop and think about how I'm treating my body. So that was a big lesson that I learned this year. And I mean, I told you guys the whole story in a whole episode, but as you know, I literally woke up with no feeling in my legs, like the lower half of my body, and I proceeded to go to a day drink in the city. So yeah, I was an idiot. I still am in certain ways, but I'm learning that I need to kind of stop. And when my body is telling me something, when my body is, you know, sending me a very clear message that something is wrong, I gotta maybe not prioritize my social life in that moment and prioritize myself a bit more. I'm really bad at prioritizing myself and my needs. And so that's a way that I learned that this year was Lyme disease. Okay, another thing, of course, quitting my job, I've kind of talked about that. That was huge. Made me also learn to prioritize myself and know when I am finished with something, know when something's no longer growing me, and walk away from that thing. And even though it's hard to know that I am making the right choice, even if it feels like I'm quitting, I did quit, but I didn't quit myself. I was honestly furthering myself by quitting, if that makes sense. So that was a big thing. Also, something I don't really talk about much was moving. Of course, it happened, like, obviously during the Lyme incident. I actually moved while dealing with that. So my family moved me, luckily, to my new apartment here in Greenwich Village. That's where I live now, which is, if you're not from New York or know much about it, it's more downtown than where I was living before. So if you think of the island of Manhattan, it's a bit further. Excuse me, someone is motorcycling away down there. They don't think about people that podcast, those motorcyclists. Anyway, so I moved, and I moved downtown, more downtown. So I'm not fully downtown. I'm not, like, in the financial district, or just, I could be further. I'm kind of, if you think about Manhattan and you think about where Midtown is, I'm, like, below Midtown. Before, I was on the west side also. I'm on the west side. I'm in Greenwich Village. I'm kind of, like, west to the middle-ish, but not fully in the middle, if that makes sense, of Greenwich Village. And before, I was in Hell's Kitchen, which is not Upper West, but it's, like, right below Central Park on the west side. So I moved still on the west side, but just further downtown. And the difference between my old apartment and this apartment, number one, my old apartment was $400 cheaper a month, which I do miss, of course, but I was spending less money, but I was just dealing with so much shit, for lack of a better way to put it, because of that. So first and foremost, I mean, I did feel very lucky to be living in that apartment. All apartments in New York are super expensive, and so I'm grateful that I could even live in an apartment in New York. Don't want that to be lost in this. But I had to deal with a few things that just really made me so anxious. Number one, it was just really dirty. Like, it felt really dirty. And of course, a lot of apartments in New York aren't perfect. That's just the nature of living in a New York apartment that's less than, like, $5,000 a month. Of course, there's, like, little charming quirks and things about each apartment, and I still have them in this one, but in my previous one, there was just, like, it was just really dirty. I would just sometimes turn on my sink and the water would be, like, dark brown, and, you know, my shower just sometimes had mysterious smells. And I mean, my kitchen was, I had no, like, natural light in my kitchen because it was facing another building, which wasn't a huge deal because I don't really spend much time in my kitchen, as you guys know. But there was always these, like, really creepy pigeons sitting on the windowsill, and they weren't, like, cute pigeons. I don't know if there's such thing as a cute pigeon. Sorry if you guys think pigeons are cute, but they were just really spooky. So I had to deal with that. But then also, okay, cherry on top was the 3 mice I had to deal with in my apartment. They came during the winter time when I was feeling especially lonely last year, and they decided to, you know, humble me with their presence. That's not the right word. They were there, okay? And it was disgusting. And there was just who knows how many other things that were lurking I didn't know about. I found 2 cockroaches in my apartment. It was just, oh God. And I was like, but the exposed brick, that was what was keeping me there, was the exposed brick. And of course, I didn't want to break my lease. So I, you know, bucked up. I'm paying $400 more a month here. And of course, it's more of a financial burden. I can still afford it. Obviously, I wouldn't be doing this if I couldn't afford it. But, you know, it made more sense to invest in a nicer apartment in a cleaner kind of area than to just be miserable in a, you know. So I made a different sort of change there, and just kind of have been more conscious about what I'm spending my money on now, and I spend money on things that are more important, like having a nice, secure apartment. Also, the old apartment didn't have a doorman. It had, you know, a walk-up, which wasn't the issue, really. It was just, I didn't feel as safe there. My packages were stolen a few times. It was like, now I invested in having a safer, just cleaner apartment, and that was a huge decision I made this year that was just such a good decision, and I'm glad I did it. So that's another thing, an area that I kind of improved. And then also, another thing, rejection. I got rejected by a few different romantic interests this past year. And, you know, I've gotten ghosted, just people that, for one way or another, like, you know, got back with their ex-girlfriends or things, and just, like, just a number of little things here and there that I don't even feel like they're not huge enough to discuss each individually, but I was rejected a few times, and, you know, or people chose my friends over me and things like that, where I just felt kind of less than. And they were good, because I've learned that it's so great to continuously get your dreams in motion and really be thinking like you can do anything and whatever, but like there's certain ways that I don't get my hopes up as much, which sounds kind of depressing, but like when I go on dates now, I have such a more level head about things than I did this time last year. You know, New York is magical, but Sex and the City like isn't real life, and you can't always expect to go into a date and have a second date. You can't always go into everything thinking you're gonna marry them, and that is something that I've had to learn this year, and it's made me such a better person. I've gone on such better dates recently because I don't have such debilitatingly high expectations. And I don't want you guys to think that you need to set your bar so low, because that's not what I'm saying at all, and that's not what I do. I think that you just need to be more level about things and see it as being, it's going to be great, it's going to be something where I have a second date, or I just have a new friend, a new acquaintance in the city, someone that I know now in this, you know, lonely city. And either way, that's great. Either way, it's a win. Either way, I have done something good for myself by going on this date. And I'm not going to go into it thinking this is going to be love. I've always said this, but I haven't really practiced it. It's either love or a lesson. And that's something I've learned this year. And I've also learned that love is not like the ultimate thing that I'm looking for. At the end of the day, I think that I'm learning to maybe, okay, maybe I am looking for love or looking to fulfill myself in love, but maybe not romantic love. Maybe I'm looking for love in other ways, and I should be looking for love in other things. And that's something that I'm taking with me into 2020, just like looking for love. I love love. I love lovely things. I love just magical things and feeling lovey feelings, but I can feel those things not in a person. I can feel those things in trying new foods, trying new coffee shops, reading new books, trying just new other things that aren't new love interests. And that's something I've also really learned in 2019. And like, I'm thankful that I learned those things, because let's be real, I have just put a lot of my eggs in a lot of different baskets that just have not fulfilled me. And I'm kind of done with that in 2020. And I'm focusing on other things now, of course. I'm focusing on being a boss bitch. So, on that note, we're going to end the podcast, because I think that was a great note to end on. The boss ass bitch note is always a great note to end on. So, thank you guys for listening to yet another fabulous Thick and Thin episode. I hope you guys are having a great start to 2020. And I think going to record another episode maybe tomorrow, because I have a whole nother topic I want to talk about. And so, yeah, there's going to be a lot of new episodes in the next few weeks. I'm going to finally nail down a day that I'm going to post episodes on. Believe me, that's my goal for January, is to figure out what day I want to post episodes on and what day I want to post videos on, and like really just plan that out, because I've been really bad at that. So yeah, thanks for listening, guys, and I will talk to you guys all in my next episode. Bye.